Thank you for that song. Who would ever thought you'd get a song out of the book of Jude? Huh? It's like finding missions or evangelism, I should say, in the Numbers. Amen? They accused me of finding missions in every book of the Bible. And that's true. I think it's in every book of the Bible. But I enjoyed that song, the message. Where are you going to end up, wandering star? God help you to wind up in the arms of Jesus. You know, I'm just thinking how many things I like about this church. I really do. Boy, I tell you, if I didn't have a church, I started here and have a son who's my pastor, I'd be tempted to get in this church. I tell you what, I like your church. I like your pastor.
Amen.
Amen. I really do. I mean, that's a miracle in itself, to really like someone that rough and tough. And boy, he's hard. Amen. You'd have to, I do. I love you, pastor. Have ever since I've known him, I appreciate the frankness and openness of him. He's there's just nothing phony anywhere. I've never seen any phonies in Brother Lyndall Kincaid. And I appreciate your song service. I appreciate Brother Steve's leading. I tell you what, I love to see him do like this, kind of. Amen. And then he comes out with all those words, hallelujah. Now that, Brother Steve's going to make it to heaven if he doesn't run past it. Amen. 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 Appreciate that. I appreciate your friendliness. I'm sure that it's almost unique to have a church that has so many folks that on their own just go around shaking hands and, visiting with people and welcoming people. And that's good. I appreciate that. If you will take your Bibles, please, and open them up. I'll tell you what, let me just say this tonight that, if you were to be given the, and had to make a decision about holding on to one part of God's Word and had to give it all the rest of it up, and you were just to be pared down and God said you got the choice of just one verse of the Bible you can have, And all the rest of me taken away from you. I wonder what would be chosen. It'd be interesting to find out, what you would choose to hang on to if you only had one verse that you could have and use it to read and reread and to draw from it and what have you. And I'm sure that, I'm sure there'd be a lot of variety here if I were to ask, what verse you would say, well, this would be my verse. This would be the one I'd want to hold on to. I'm sure that, somewhere in there somebody'd pick Romans 8:28, which is a tremendous, I'm sure a lot of hands are going to that, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And I'm sure, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, and so forth. Many of the Psalms, Psalms 1, Psalms 23, what have you. But I believe with all my heart that, I know this, that if I were to have to choose one verse out of all the Bible, Old or New Testament, I just couldn't let go of John 3:16. I'd say if I've just got to have one verse, I believe that God, as He was, inspiring John to write, I believe that when He got to that third chapter and that 16th verse, God said, John, I want to give you something here that's going to just pack it all into one verse. I'm just going to take it and I'm going to compact it all together and take, just really put it in one verse. And God gave us John 3:16. And I see in that verse, I see all the fullness of God. That verse is really just, the fullness is in that verse. I know that, as you read the Bible that, you see these new truths that God gives you every time. But here's one verse that just in a verse, you it's like going into a mine and digging away and coming out with a sack full of nuggets. And this 16th verse is just like that. So I like to read, open your Bible, John 3:16. I like to preach this morning from this 16th verse of the third chapter. And by the way, just in case someone is thinking maybe I'm just down scratching trying to find something to preach from, that's not it. You know what most preachers, if God called preachers, it isn't that you trying to find something to preach, it's trying to, try to boil it down to get the, just get down to one message. You know, sometimes I've got about three messages running around my soul. And I want to preach all three of them, and you can't preach all three of them. But you know, this 16th verse of John chapter 3, as I said, we see God showing us His fullness, the fullness of His love, the fullness of Himself, really. And, it just gets a hold of my heart as I read this precious truth here. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. That's you He's talking about. That's me He's talking about. The world. The world of sinners. Amen. God so loved the world. I heard a radio preacher some time ago, and he is one of these hyper, I guess, Calvinists. And brother, he spent his whole 30 minutes preaching on that God so loved the world that the world didn't really mean the world. He explained it meant just those who were the ordained, the chosen ones. And when it said all the world, it didn't mean all the world and all that stuff. But I thank God this morning that when He said that God so loved the world, He's talking about the world of sinners. Amen. 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 All the world. God is not willing that any should perish. I don't believe God wants anybody to go to hell. I believe God wants everyone to go to heaven. I believe God wants everyone to know Him and to come to Him and to be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life. The fullness of God revealed here in this 16th verse. I want to just four or five or six or seven or eight things here I want to say. First of all, this verse is full of God. You know, it just starts out and says, for God. It doesn't try to explain God. You know, it doesn't try to go into all the background, the detail about, you know, about the origin, if whatever. Just says God. Here's God. I mean, here He is. You know, just take Him or leave Him. Here's God. God. For God. It's full of God. I mean, boy, I tell you what, all throughout, of course, the Bible is full of God, but this verse is full of God, the presence of God, if you will. The Bible says the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord in Psalms 33 and 5. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. This verse is full of God. Here He is. Just like Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. There He is. You don't want to believe Him? You don't want to believe, that He's there, that He's pre-existent, that no one created Him. He just, there He is, full of God. This verse is not only full of God, but it's full of love. You know, one of the problems we have, Brother Kincaid, you talk about trying to have a balanced church. One of the problems we have in many of our churches is that we don't folks realize that we are a loving people. We feel like, we equate loving with, being a liberal, being a compromiser. Right. Being soft on sin. But the Bible says God is love.
Right.
And this verse is full of love. It really is. And we need somehow to be people of love. I mean, if you you can be tough. You can be strong. You can be a godly. You can be a dedicated, separated unto God, true Christian, and be a loving person. Amen. Amen? You don't have to, kick old women and steal from old men. Just and be a good fundamentalist. You can really love people.
Right.
And be right with God. It's full of love. You know, this verse is not just for God loved the world, but I believe this. I wish I had a marks a lot or one of these things, eraser boards, and I like to write down so. And all around this auditorium and up to the sky, amen, and where the sky parchment made and where the ocean full of ink, brother, and every stalk a quill, brother, you couldn't write the love of God. Amen. To write it. God so loved the world. So loved the world. God so loves you, sinner. God so loves you. It's full of love. Oh, Harry Morehouse, who was an ex-prize fighter, was standing in an alley in a town in England with a gun pointed to his head, and he was at the end and no reason to go on. And overhead, in the second story of that tenement house there, someone was reading the Bible aloud. and reading the story of the prodigal son, just the Word of God reaching out, that prodigal son, the beautiful account of the prodigal son. Brother said of pulling the trigger, brother there, he pulled the trigger in his heart and said to God, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and save me. And God saved old Harry Morehouse. And really, I mean, brother, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, saved him. And then called him to preach. And D.L. Moody met him over in England, and he said, you got to come to America and preach in my church. And he came to preach there in that Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. And D.L. Moody said, he said, after hearing Harry Morehouse preach night after night after night, he said, I never knew God loved me so much. Amen. I never knew God loved me so much. God so loved. Amen. God so loved. This verse is full of love. You know, there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 through verse 39, it talks about who shall separate us from the love of God. And then it lists all the things that you might think could separate you. And then it says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors. There's no way to separate us from the love of God. And that is, it's not our love for Him, but His love for us. Amen. His love reaches out and out. And my, how God's love reached out to me. And how God's love reached out to you and reached and reached and reached. And you ran and God's love just kept reaching out to you. No man seeks after God. God seeks after man. Amen. And God's love reached out and reached out. Amen to you. And some of you, you just like me, you shake your head and think, dear Lord, how in the world could you be so loving and so caring for me to wait and to be so long suffering to me and to save my soul? God so loved the world. If you're not saved today, my friend, you're sinning against love. You're spurning the greatest love in all the world, the love of God for you. God so loved the world. The psalmist said there in Psalms 139, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Brother, God says, God just tracks us. You know, I heard about a woman who was standing up in a public service testifying. She said, you know, I used to wonder why they call these little things tracks. She said, you know, I tell you why. She said, someone put one in my hand one day. And she said, I read that and said, man, what I read in that little pamphlet said it tracked me to bed that night. Said I got up and it tracked me throughout the day. Said I went in the bedroom and it tracked me there. I went in the bathroom, it tracked me there. Said it just tracked me and tracked me until it tracked me to God.
Amen.
Oh God, listen, whither shall I flee from God's presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I descend into hell, thou art there. God's love reaching out to us. The Bible tells us there in Mark chapter 10 about the man that came to Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus loved old Judas Iscariot. He loved him, even though he betrayed him. He loved him. This verse is full of God and it's full of love. I tell you what else it's full of. It's full of challenge. It's full of challenge. The Bible says that God so loved the world. Folks, San Antonio, God loves His city. I mean, full of wickedness and sin and ungodliness and reprobation, but God loves His city. And God loves this state of ours. And God loves this United States. God loves the world. Amen? I mean, brother, what I'm saying is that brother, the challenge is that wherever we go, brother, God's going before us with His love, amen, reaching out to mankind. One of the problems we're having in our churches, one of the reasons we're not having the results we used to have is because, number one, we're not really believing God. We've allowed unbelief to grip our hearts. And we go out and knock on the door, and as we knock on the door, we're thinking, no one's here is going to be interested. No one here is going to really care. But let me tell you, there's someone with you, amen, who cares.
Amen.
Amen. There's someone with you who cares. He cares, brother, and He's going to reach out to that sinner. And you know, I thank God, brother, I'm not just knocking a door, just me, myself and I, but brother, there's someone with me. There's someone with me. Amen. And as I testify, the Bible says, as I testify of the truth, He's going to testify also of the truth. Amen. We're not just going out just men, like men or women, just in the human spirit, just us, amen, trying to convince someone for Christ. Brother, there's someone dynamic there with us. Someone very real there with us. And brother, he's going to reach out to that. God so loved the world. God loves this world. That's why we've been told to go into all the world, commanded to go into all the world, because God loves all the world. Thank God for the missionaries out from this church going into various parts of the world. But you know something else? This verse not only is full of God and full of love and full of challenge, but it's also full of grace. The Bible says He gave. For God so loved the world, He gave. I mean, the grace of God. God's grace. Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor from God. Can you imagine someone ever standing in the presence of God saying, God, you really got a prize when you got me. Boy, I tell you what, you really are blessed, God, to get me. Whew. Brother, the grace of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Amen. That's grace. God's unmerited favor. Did I deserve Jesus to die for me? Not in this world, not in any world. I didn't deserve that. I mean, I will never deserve that. Oh, man, listen. The grace of God. Amen. Unmerited favor. It's full of grace. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, For He hath made Him to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He became sin for us. You know what? It was a transfer. Jesus became what I was, and I became what He was. That's grace, folks. That's grace. There's nothing in us. I mean, the Bible says all of even of our righteousnesses, all of our the very best parts of us, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
Right. Amen.
I mean, take all the good things you can add up about yourself. Take them all and just write down when you tally them up, put down filthy rags. There's nothing in us of ourself. You say, why did God love us? Because He wanted to love us. Why did God send His Son? Because He wanted to send His Son. It's all of grace. This verse is full of grace. But also this verse is full of divinity. The Bible says He gave His only begotten Son. Think about this, if you will, sinner. The blood that was shed on the cross was the blood of God.
Amen.
The blood of God was shed for you. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking about Christ. Not like the Jehovah's False Witnesses Bible says, and the Word was a God, with a little g, but the Word was God.
Amen.
Jesus was God.
Amen.
He was not a God, He was God.
Amen.
It wasn't, you know, God, the big God and the little God, it's God. And God and God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, He's God. And when He died on the cross and shed His blood, it was divine blood. Then this verse is full of encouragement, full of encouragement. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in Him. Man, that's, to me, that's tremendous encouragement. God just packed in there. I love the fact, brother, He just put that blank check in there. Whosoever. Amen. Amen. Sinner, God said, listen, I've signed the check. Amen. I've paid the price. The redemption is already deposited in the bank of heaven. Now you just fill your name in there. Fill your name in there. You repent of your sins. You call upon me and put your name there. And it becomes yours. Full encouragement. Listen, mom. Listen, dad. You got a boy that's away from God, that's not saved. You say he's just gone so far, I don't think there's any hope for him. Let me tell you something. Don't ever believe that. You pray for that boy.
Amen.
You pray for, listen, the prayers of God's people can reach out, brother, to the furthest hog pen. God can reach that boy. And I'm telling you what, brother, whosoever, amen, your boy, amen, can be saved. Amen. I just thinking last night as I was doing some preparation for this morning, I was thinking about a fellow I met, brother, who was a hopeless drunkard. His name was Joe Todd. And Joe Todd, I met him on the streets of Corpus Christi. And Joe Todd was on the way to the liquor store the night I met him. And I walked across the street, was having a street meeting, walked across the street, and began to witness to him. I said, can I walk along with you? Had a cane. He's walking along. That cane. And he said, you wouldn't want to go where I'm going. I said, I don't care where you're going. Would you mind if I walk along with you? Well, okay, but I want to tell you what, you won't like where I'm going. And we walked along, and I began to talk to him about the Lord Jesus. And he said, no matter what you say, he said, I'm going up here to this store. And he pointed down there, and I could see the sign, liquor store. And he said, and no matter what you say, I'm going to get me a fifth of whiskey, and I'm going to drink that whiskey, he said. I said, well, that's all right. Let's just walk along. And I just kept walking along with him and talking to him, witnessing to him. Got to the store, went inside, bought his whiskey. He said, now it came out, of course, wrapped in a brown bag. He said, no matter what you say to me, preacher, I'm going to drink this whiskey. I said, that's all right, fine. Let me just walk you back to the house. We walked bound down the street, and just kept talking about the Lord. Got into his house, and he invited me in, went in and sat down at the kitchen table, and he said, now, no matter what you say, I'm telling you, I'm going to drink this whiskey. I said, I understand, but just I just kept preaching to him, You know, I never opened that old bottle up. Somewhere along there, old Joe Todd said, I give up. And we got on our knees there at the kitchen table, and old Joe Todd asked God to save him.
Amen.
And got saved. And folks, you know, I'm not talking about something that happened and then I just lost track. I mean, I kept up with old Joe Todd. It was real. Joe got saved. I mean, and he was an older man, at a drunkard. But God reached down. Amen. Whosoever, Joe Todd, that's you, buddy. And God pulled him out. God saved him. God can save drunkards. I'm talking about hopeless drunkards. God can save hopeless drug addicts. God can save people in whatever depth of sins it may be, and God can save them. Amen. This verse is, I tell you, it's full of encouragement. Whosoever. Amen. When I go out, I tell you, I'm so encouraged. I know no matter who I run into, what kind of life they may be living, brother, they're a candidate for salvation.
That's right. Amen.
God cares about them, and God can save them if they'll repent of their sins and trust Him as their Savior. Full of encouragement. Help us. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged. Amen.
Amen.
Help us not to give up on anybody.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you when you stop praying for someone when they put them 6 feet under.
Right.
You can stop praying for them then. I tell you, as long as they're on the top side of this earth, as long as they're breathing, I want to tell you what, brother, God can reach out to them and God can save them. Amen. Oh, yes. Don't let the devil have the victory in your life.
Right.
Don't let the devil tell you that there's no hope. There's a hope for that mother.
Right.
There's a hope for that daddy. Amen.
Amen.
He may be have one foot in the grave, one on the banana peel, brother. But brother, before he slips, God can reach out and save him. Don't give up on him. Don't stop praying for him. Don't stop preaching to him and loving him. Amen. The love of Christ still constrains. Amen. God can save a cultist. God can save brother whoever. Amen. God can save. God can save you, whoever you may be here this morning. God can save you. You say, I'm too bad. I'm too far gone. I'm too wicked. I've committed too many sins. I mean, the things I've done, God could not forgive. I tell you, that is not true. God said, whosoever. Amen. Whosoever. Don't you put a question mark where God puts a period.
Amen.
Whosoever. Excuse me. I met a man some years ago when I was in the University of Corpus Christi after God had saved me and called me to preach. This fellow was a giant of a fellow physically. And I heard about him soon after I got on the campus. His name was George. Never did get his last name. But everybody said, don't go up around the university garage. Because there's a fellow up there that hates preachers. He eats preachers for breakfast. Don't go up around there. He's a giant of a fella. And really, I kind of believe the story. It sounded pretty bad. They said he's a wild man. He's like a maniac of Gadara. And so I just made a wide path around that place. But you know, it's amazing how God can begin to convict your heart and put someone specially on your heart. And man, the more I prayed for George, I thought, I'm going to pray that God will send someone to talk to him. That's a mistake. Amen. God sends someone to, God burns someone to talk to George. That old boy needs to be saved. And one day God said, yeah, you're the one. You're the missionary. Go talk to George. Oh, no. No, Lord, you misunderstood. Lord, send someone. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to send you. You're someone. Amen. Got a friend of mine. He and I went up there. I tell you what, I like to say I was bold. I wasn't bold. I was scared to death. Went up there and found that garage. We walked up there. I heard someone cussing. Now, I mean, I'd heard cussing before, but I'm telling you, this man knew words I never heard. He was saying everything in the world, cussing, I mean, up a blue streak. And then I heard something, boy, and I went and walked inside that garage, and as I did, he was inside a bus working on it, and something went wrong, something upset him, and he took his foot and kicked the windshield out of that bus, out on the floor of that shop. And I thought, dear me. Here's this giant of a fella, just, I mean, raving, a raving maniac. I don't know why how they kept him on. Kicked the windshield out of that bus, and here I'm up here, the preacher, to talk to him. 5'7", you know. And we walked in, Jack and I, and I said, are you George? Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? What do you want? You know, kind of like Brother Lindell talks. Yeah, what do you want? Nothing, I just forget it. I said, we came to talk to you about Jesus. And there was a great big old iron deal holding the roof up. I mean, you know, hold the ceiling up. And he kind of backed up there. That, yeah, what? Well, about what? About Jesus? What do you got to say? Well, we began to witness to him. And as we talked to him that day, he began sliding down that pole. Here he was. I was doing like this. Hey, you up there, George, you know. But you know, God can cut a man down to size, physically. And he just started sliding down that pole. And pretty soon he was down where we were eyeball to eyeball. He was squatting down on his haunches. And to make a long story short, it wasn't too long after we got a chance to start witnessing to him that he came under conviction and fell on his knees there in that shop, that old pavement there. And we knelt down with him and we prayed with George. And George got saved.
Amen.
Boy, it was wonderful. I mean, he got saved. So we said, George, now that you're saved, you need to go to church. And we'd like to have you go to church with us Sunday. And you need to be baptized. And, you know, we told him what he needed to do. Okay, whatever, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, he didn't have any Sunday clothes. So we got him a suit. We got the biggest suit I could find. And he went to church, he would look like this. Great big giant of a guy, you know. Walked in church like that, you know, everything hit him about like that. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter, George. He had gotten saved. Amen. There are no hopeless cases. There are no too hard for God. Amen. This verse is full of encouragement to me. Whosoever. Amen. Whosoever. And then this verse is also full of simplicity because it says, whosoever believeth. You know, isn't it wonderful how God has simplified how to be saved? Man complicates it, man. I mean, man, you let man have a chance and he's going to make it so difficult and get it all so, you know, so messed up that man, no one knows, you know, which ends up. But God just said, whosoever believeth on him. Please, my friend, today, I didn't say, and God didn't say, whosoever believes about him.
That's right.
Whosoever believeth in him. Amen. So simple. You believe. Amen. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It's that simple. Man, I thank God, brother, you know, that there's not a whole list of things, you know, 15 things to do to come to God. One thing. Amen. Basic one thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'm glad God's made it that way. You know, one of the responses I normally get when I preach meetings somewhere, someone will invariably say something like this, you know, your preaching is really simple. Yeah, that's what I say. You're right. You nailed me. There's nothing complex about my preaching. Amen. It's very simple. Right down there on the bottom shelf. Amen. And it's not because I want to put it there. It's that's how high I can reach. Amen. I can't reach any higher than the bottom shelf. There's other folks who can. I thank God for them. They can get way up on the top shelf, but I'm just a bottom shelf preacher. But God is that way in his plan of salvation. Right on the bottom shelf. Down where a little child can reach up and believe. Amen. Or some sinner down on his face can reach up and believe. Someone in the gutter can reach up and believe and be saved. All the simplicity of it. Whosoever believeth in him. But you know, this verse also, I must say, is full of warning. Because God puts that little word perish in there. And if you could see it the way God wants you to see it, you'd see the flames bursting out from perish. God's put a flashing light in there. God's saying, warning, 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 turn back. There is a time when you're going to die and perish in hell. But God doesn't want you to perish in hell. God wants you to be in heaven. Amen. With Him. Now it's full of warning. And then this verse is full of promise. He says, but have everlasting life. Do you have it? Everlasting life. Amen. Present tense. I have everlasting life. Amen. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We have everlasting life. Amen. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son came to himself. He woke up. He was in a hog pen. Said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger. I know what I'll do. I'm going to get up and go home to my father's house. And he got up out of the hog pen and started his way home. And when he got somewhere near home, out there in the road, with his hand held up to shade his eyes from the sun, there was someone out there looking for him. Oh, it's the father out there looking for him. He'd been looking for him a long time. He wanted his boy to come home, and now here he comes, trudging up the road. The Bible says that they ran together. Amen. Fell in each other's arms, and the boy began to make this confession. Lord, I'm not worthy, and all of that. The father wouldn't listen to that. He knew he wasn't worthy. Put his arms around that boy and those old filthy garments and loved him. Said to the servants, go get a robe for this boy. Go get a robe for him to cover him up. Cover up this old past life. Go get a ring for his finger. Show who he is. He's my boy. Amen. Get some shoes for his feet. He's been trudging this old path of sin so long. Get some shoes for his feet and kill the fatted calf. This my son who was dead is alive again.
Amen.
He was lost, but he's found. And they began to be merry. Listen, my friend, God Almighty, the Father's out today looking for you. He said, why don't you get out of the hog pen? This morning would be a wonderful time to get up and come home to the Father. God's out there waiting for you. God loves you. He loves you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. And He wants you to come home. And if you'll get up this morning and just come to the Father, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to give you life for what you have now. God wants to trade your rags for that robe of righteousness. Amen. Amen. God wants to put a song in the place of that sob you have there. Amen. God wants you to be saved. Will you come to Christ today? Will you come to Him today? Will you respond to the love of God? I hope you will. Let's stand together, please. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, Lord, I come to You. In the precious name that's above every other name, the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank You so very much for Your love. I thank You, dear Lord, that Your love, Lord, constrains men to come. God, I pray You draw, even this morning, from this congregation, men and women, young people, Lord, to Jesus. And God, I pray that sinners will come and be saved today. Help them to get up out of the hog pen of their sin and come, even now. We ask this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. We're going to have an invitation song this morning, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, just as I am, I come. I want to invite you to come this morning. If you'll step out of your place and come here to the front, I'd like just to meet you, shake your hand this morning, but go beyond that. The pastor wants to take you aside and open the Bible and share with you how today you can be saved and go home. I mean, knowing you're a child of God. If you come this morning while we sing this invitation song, you come right now while we sing.